I want to ask you, where did Noah strike the first nail in the ark?
I don't know, Joseph. Where did Noah strike the first nail in the ark?
On the head. You ask. You ask, Helen. Helen, I'm sorry.
The names have been changed.
Oh. All right. There was this nervous preacher. Oh man, was he nervous. The first time he was in the pulpit, the first time he was there to preach the gospel. And it was, yeah, you can take notes. It was on the, when the Lord multiplied the loaves and the fishes. So he was so excited. That was his first time in the pulpit, the first time there, and there was a lot of people. Was he nervous? So while he was preaching, he said, and Jesus Christ fed 2-5 person with 5,000 loaves and 2,000 fishes. But he made a big mistake. It's just the opposite. He fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves. But he was so excited that he said, Jesus Christ fed 5,000 fishes and 2,000 loaves. Is anybody here can do that? And there was a drunkard in the back. He got up, he said, that's easy. So the usher, they went there and grabbed the guy and threw him out. And when he was finished with his sermon, the head pastor called him. He said, man, you made a big mistake. Jesus Christ did not feed 5,000 loaves. He fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves. He said, oh my God, I know. I made a big mistake. I'll correct it next week. He only had one sermon, one service. So the next Sunday, the young minister gets in the pulpit again and he said, Jesus Christ fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Can anyone do that? The same drunkard is there again. He get up. He says, that's easy. So the usher go for him to throw him out. He say, hey, wait a minute. Young man, you're telling me that's easy? How is it possible to feed 5,000 with 5 bread and 2 loaves? And the drunkard said, with the leftovers from last week? That's for you. All right. Tonight, we are going to continue our study on dating. It's been a long one. We are tonight on part 5. We will be dealing with communication tonight. Communication is very important. So, we will review part 4. Every week, we review the previous week. So, we saw last week that there's only one reason for dating, and that's preparing for marriage. We took a look at the 4 different types of love. We saw the first one, storge love, which is affection love. The first one we've experienced, that's the love that we had in our family when we were born. It's a parent to offspring and offspring to parent type of love. It's the least discriminating of the loves. If you try to live by affection only, by storge love only, that love will not continue. It will go bad on you. It is not sufficient. Something must be added to it. Then the second one was phileo, which is friendship. It's a mutual love. I love you if you love me. It's an emotional love. It's the least jealous of all 3 loves, not agape. The least important any individual or any community can survive without it. It's the least important, friendship. And then number 3 was eros, the sexual love, the totally emotional, physical love hero says, I want for me. It is a very selfish love. The most selfish of all. It's a self-fulfilling love. And then we discovered that we should do all things to the glory of God. And if you are asking how far you can go on your dating relationship sexually, you are on dangerous grounds. Because you should be asking, what can we do to please God and to bring honor to His name? We bear His name. The first five letters of Christian is Christ. And we should have a Christ-like attitude. Christ is with you on every date, every places that you go, dark or full light. He's there. So just remember, He's there with you, and bring glory to His name. We learn to reject the impure thoughts, not to allow your mind to fantasize. It is not good for you. Satan used that. It is destructive, and it will destroy you. We saw not to get involved in petting. You won't be able to control your passion. Don't play with dynamite. Once it is lit, it will explode. It cannot be stopped. So leave as much distance as possible between you and any area of temptation. Then we saw the number four was agape love, the divine love, supernatural love. It is a commitment love. How can you be married without it? Marriage is a commitment. Agape love is a commitment love. Without agape love, there cannot be any commitment, any marriage. So it does not change. As feelings change, they change all the time. You're up, you're down. But agape love is not changing. So we saw the description of agape love in 1 Corinthians 13. And then we said that you will need all four loves in your marriage. Not in your dating relationship, but in your marriage. The one that is the most important is the number four. Agape love. And that's the one that you are supposed to train, to prepare, to learn in your dating relationship. To love one another, the divine love. All right? So tonight we will continue part five with communication. Communication is one of the most important things in your marriage, in your relationship, even in working. It is a cause of many divorces, communication. I got this poster that we have this at work. So let's get it together. Failing to communicate causes mistakes. They were trying to build a bridge without communication. They were close, but they missed. Missed enough for a car to go in the ocean or the lake or whatever, the river. If you try to build your relationship without communication, you're not going to succeed. If you try to build a marriage without communication, you will not succeed. Communication is very important. And you start working on it while you are preparing for marriage. So dating needs communication. You have to be able to communicate. What is communication? It's a process, verbal or nonverbal. And I will come back to this later, the verbal and nonverbal. It's a process, verbal or nonverbal, of sharing information with another person in such a way that he or she will understand what you are sharing. Now, three things are involved in communication. A lot of people think communication is just talking and telling them what it is. That's not communication. Communication involves three things. One is talking. It's necessary. You know, talking, listening, and understanding. There is no communication if one of those three are missing. If you did not understand, if you did not listen, or you did not talk, there's no communication. Those three are very important. Communication is a two-way street. It is not something that you say. You have to let the other one say something. You must ask the other one's opinion. What do you think? Let them talk. You listen. Try to understand them. So communication, it is not something that you heard, you've learned, you know, and you just want to share and bang, 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 and that's it. No, it is not it. You say it. You ask the other one's opinion. You ask what they think. You ask if they understand. You try to understand their side, their opinion. That is communication. All of those things. It's not only talking. When you talk, there are six messages coming through. Sometimes more. When I talk, there's more than six. But normally there are six messages coming through. One is what you mean to say. That's one thing, what you mean to say. What you actually say may not be the same thing. What the other person hears, bless you, is not the same. What the other person thinks he heard. What the other person says about you, what you have said. You pass him, I give you a message, you tell him, you tell her, and you go. By the end of Bud, we're going to have a complete different message. So that's what the other person says about what you said, and what you think the other person said about what you said. So communication, it is a riot. Yeah, Roman. So, a tip to remember to better communicate, listen more and talk less. We have the tendency to do the opposite. To talk more and listen less. You will never have good communication. Most people prefer to be speaking. They prefer to be the one talking. And it is not good for communication. Now, what is a nonverbal communication? When I said earlier, communication, it's a process, verbal or nonverbal. What would be a nonverbal communication? Body language tells a lot. If I'm here and I'm talking and you start looking at your watch and every 15 minutes, you're going to be saying a lot to me without saying one word. So, body language is very important. And we have a hard time with body language. Especially though, I mean, you don't have to say a word. It is more irritating than a word. So, be careful with body language because it says more than words. Also, some other actions are non-verbal communication. Guys giving expensive gifts to the girls. Often. Taking them to dinner all the time, nice places, and then they don't understand, how come she fell in love with me? Well, dummy. The non-verbal communication, she read. She heard. So, be careful with those things. The giving of gifts, those nice dinners, sure she's going to fall in love with you. It's a non-verbal communication, but you are trying to communicate with those gifts and goodies and special treats. I'm not saying don't go out to dinner. I'm not saying don't give gifts. But I'm saying it is a communication. Remember, when you give a gift, when you take someone to a special place, special dinner, you are saying something. So don't be surprised if down the road the girl is madly in love with you. So just be careful with those non-verbal communication. They are as important as the talking, listening, and understanding. Cards and notes, same thing. They send cards every other day. They receive the card, and I'm those little cards. They have nice things. I'm thinking of you today, and have a nice day today. And you receive a card every 2 days, and then you wonder, well, how come? The guy's in love with me. I never said nothing. I went out with him just once. Yeah, we got 426 cards. So watch those communication. There are 5 levels of communication. Number 1 is level 5. That's the cliche conversation. This type of talk is very safe. How are you? How's the dog? How's your leg? I like your dress. Just plain little cliche. In this type of conversation, there is no personal sharing. Each person remains safely behind his or her defenses. So that's the cliche conversation, level 5. Then you come down to level 4, which is reporting the facts about others. He said, well, she said, and he shared, she shared. I remember when I was here, there was one guy who didn't want to talk to me because everything I would say was Mike said, Mike Chaddy. I was always talking about him, what he said. And he said, don't you ever say nothing? That's yours? And he was right. I was always saying. So I was level 4 of communication. Content to tell others what someone else has said. But you offer no personal information on these facts. You report facts like the 6 o'clock news, like a newspaper. You know what happened? No, 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 no. That's gossip also. You share gossip. You don't commit yourself as to how you feel about it. You're just reporting. Well, did you know that she's going with so-and-so, and it's been 4 weeks, and I saw them in their house by yourself? Ah, man. That's gossip. We'll come back to gossip. We're going to get you with it. Then you come down to level 3, which is your ideas, your judgment. Now, real communication is beginning. It's starting right here with your ideas. You're willing to step out of the confinement. You risk telling your ideas. It's a risk to communicate, to share. Your decision, slowly you're opening up, but you're still cautious. If you sense that you are not being accepted, you will retreat and say no more. So that's level number 3. Then communication get down to level 2. Your feelings, your emotions. At this level, you share how you feel about facts, about ideas, and about judgment. So to really share with another, you must move to this level of sharing your feelings, to open up, not to be afraid. Take a risk. That's level 2. There is beginning of communication. And then you're down to level 1. It's a complete communication. It's a complete opening up. You share your personal emotion, feelings, ideas, judgment. It's an absolute openness and absolute honesty. You have to be very honest with one another. It's difficult to do because it involves the risk of being rejected. You don't know how he or she is going to receive and how he or she is going to take it. But you have to be honest and say it. It is risky, but it is vital for the relationship to grow. The relationship will not be able to grow without that honesty and openness.
When you meet someone that's a Christian,
we know they're a Christian, we meet someone in the church, we still have to start on level 5 and work our way down.
Any communication, you got to start the first job. You remember the first day at job, first date, the first time you meet somebody. Every time the communication starts at 5 and got to come down at 1. If you go right at 1, it is sometimes we see with Christians and Christians only can we see a level of communication lower than 5 at the beginning. It's like we're brothers and sisters. Like you've known that guy or that girl forever. You just met that person. There's that thing. They are unusual communication. Unusual feeling. This, it may happen in good Christian brothers and sisters. Like you go to another Calvary Chapel and you just meet some people there. And it's like you met them years ago and like you've always known them. Like we send those people from Calvary Chapel to Germany. And they lived in those houses. And they did not stay on level 5 long. They, how is the dog? And how is the, even though there was a language barrier, German, English, the level of communication went real down and to real communication, real quick, because of that. It's different. Only because you are Christian. Now what we're going to do, turn with me to the Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to go over tonight 25 chapters of the book of Proverbs. Why are you looking at me like this, Yvonne? That's just body language, yes. So we're going to go through the book of Proverbs tonight. What we are going to do is I'm going to read only those verses that pertain to communication. Rather than writing each and every verses down, what I have done is I have put a little C in front of that verse to always remind me whenever I read that that verse deals with communication. So I will give you the verse. If you only put a C in front of it, it's permanently in your Bible. You can always return to it. So we're going to cover from chapter 4 to chapter 29. Everywhere that Solomon was dealing with communication. Because communication is very, very important. First one is chapter 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. This is one of the three things that I told you was very important. Must be involved in communication, and that is listening. You have to be able to listen in order to communicate. So my son, attend to my words. Be able to listen. So learn that. That's number one. Then, same chapter, verse 24. Put away from you a froward mouth and perverse lips. Put far from you. Put away a crooked speech. The way you were talking before you were a Christian, put that away. You are a new creation. So in your communication, you're going to have to... The froward is against everything that is disobedient, that is not edifying, it is not uplifting. So put all of these conversation from the past, put them away. Then you go down to chapter 6, verse 12, all the way to 19. 6, 12 to 19. A naughty person, a wicked man, walk with a froward mouth. He winks with his eyes. He speaks with his feet. He teach with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. He devises mischief continually. He sows discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. These six things does the Lord hate. Yes, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, heart that devise wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that sows discord among his brother. So out of those seven, you see in verse 17, a lying tongue. You see false witness that is done also with the mouth. And sowing discord is gossip. Gossiping is an abomination to God. What is gossiping? Gossiping is when, how will I put it there? Gossip is when you are not part of the problem nor part of the solution. If you jump into it, if you say anything, you are gossiping. If you are not part of the problem or part of the solution, you are gossiping. And God said, I hate it. So be very careful in your communication. If you jump in and say something, gossip can cause a lot of problem. Because if I say something against Yvonne to somebody who do not know her, and I constantly say to that person, she does that, she did that today, yesterday she did that, she said that, she did that. That person never met Yvonne, has already in her heart bitterness, resentment against Yvonne that she does not even know her. That's what gossip can do. Gossip can destroy future relationship. Gossip can bring resentment, hatred in somebody's heart when they don't even know one another. I had this same problem 3 years ago when I got married and I started to work for a Christian that was real bad. I would come home and tell my wife, he did this today, he said that today, he did not do this today, he did that. So my wife started to have bitterness and resentment against him that she did not even know. And then the Lord showed to me that gossip, that's what I was doing, gossiping. She had no reason to know. If I could not talk about nothing else of my work but this guy, I should have just shut up and said, I had a good day, thank you, how was yours? Rather than just gossiping, because all I did is implanted resentment and bitterness in her heart with gossip. So gossip is very dangerous, and God says it, he hates it. So make sure before you say something about somebody, that somebody, is he or is she part of the problem, or is he or is she part of the solution? If that person does not fit in either case, do not say nothing. That person cannot help. That person is not involved. If you just go and tell that person, you are gossiping. So make sure you do not sow discord, that you do not gossip. All right? Now let's turn to chapter 10. 10 verse 19 says, in the multitude of words, there wanted not sin, but he that refrain his lips is wise. Don't talk too much. Learn to shut up. Satan will use you. James, we covered it later, says that little member that we have, no man can tame. We can tame serpents, lions, elephants, big animals. That little sucker, we cannot tame it. So be careful, don't talk too much, learn to shut up, and you will be wise. 11:9. An hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. The mouth can destroy. Words are cheap, very cheap. Watch for hypocrisy. It is nice to say something they're gonna like. You like to compliment somebody. If you don't really mean what you say, just don't say anything. If you cannot say nothing that would be the truth, that would not be a lie, just don't say nothing about it. You better say nothing than to destroy someone. Words are cheap, and be careful. All right, 11:13. A gossiper reveal secrets, but he that is a faithful spirit conceal the matter. So, again, it says, hold your tongue. Quarrel is foolish. If a talebearer, a gossiper, comes to you, you can just say, I'm sorry, I do not want to hear it. Don't encourage them to do that. Like the lady who was known in town, I shared that with you before, but I thought it was a riot. How the pastor was quick. She came afterwards, after the service, and she said, Pastor, I got this big problem with my tongue. Everybody knew her in town. She was the biggest gossip that existed. And she said, Pastor, I got a problem with my tongue, and I would like to lay my tongue on the altar tonight. And he said, I'm sorry, the altar is only 15 foot long. So the guy was quick. But be careful, because you will be known as a gossiper. So, the one that comes to you, the gossiper comes to you with secrets, you do not want to hear it. Just shut him off completely. Now, 12, 16, all the way to 22, deals with the mouth. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covers shame. He ignores the insult. He that speaks truth shows forth righteousness, but a false witness shows forth deceit. There is that speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. There shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with trouble, with mischief. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. So again, we see that lying lips are an abomination to God. Chapter 13:3. He that keeps his mouth keeps his life. Keeps his mouth keeps his life. 14:29. He that is slow to anger is of great understanding, but he that is quick of spirit exalts folly. So be slow to anger. You will stop. You will terminate the conversation right there. You can no longer communicate once you are angry. Your emotions are all messed up. Your feelings are not right. You don't even know what you are saying. All it's going to do is create more problems, more worry. You're going to worry the next day. How am I going to get out of this one? Oh man, I did not mean what I said. I have to go back to the guy. I have to tell him. So, be careful with anger. It will interfere with communication. And if someone, we'll see later, someone get angry with you, just stop the communication. Be smiling. Be cool and forget the whole thing. 15:1. A soft answer turns away anger, but harsh, grievous words stir up anger. So a soft answer turns away anger. So if someone is angry, screaming at you, the worst thing for you to do is scream back. Yell back. That's it. You lost it. Yeah. So a soft answer. Remember that. 15:4. A wholesome tongue or proper talk is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. So no perverseness, no cussing, no dirty jokes. If the guy or the girl, even girls nowadays are coming up with dirty jokes in the world. If they come to you with it, forget it. You are not for perverseness or cussing or dirty jokes. That kind of material does not belong to Christian. All right. 15:23. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Say the right thing at the right time. It will lift somebody up. So there is joy in giving good advice and also receiving it. If someone comes to you with good Christian, godly advice, receive it. Don't say, what do you know you? You're only 21 years old and I'm 46. Are you going to tell me? No, that's the wrong attitude. That cutting the communication. So if it is, there is joy in giving good advice. There is joy in receiving good advice. 15:28, the heart of the righteous studies to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Think before you speak. Study before you answer. Don't be too quick to answer and say foolish things. Like I said, you're going to worry about it and you're going to have to get out of it and you won't know how to approach. And a lot of time that breaks the communication permanently. I've seen people, not Christian, but I've seen people in the world not talking to one another. Real brothers from the same mother, raised in the same house. For over 30, 40 years, never said zippo. Not one word. They do exist still. And in the Christian world, that should not exist. There is no such thing as, I will not talk to that person ever again. That is not Christ-like attitude. 15:31, the ear that hears the reproof of life abides among the wise. So again, you have to learn to listen. Profit from constructive criticism. Not destructive one, but constructive one. Lift one another up. Help one another. Not destroying one another. 16:13. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speaks right. So, they will love him that speaks right. 16:32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that rules his spirit is better than he that takes a city. Self-control of your mouth. Very important in communication. If you cannot have control over yourself, over your mouth, you're going to have problem with communication. You won't be able to communicate. So it is better if you're able, if you are slow to anger, you are better than the mighty. And if you can rule your spirit, you are better than he who took a city. Okay, 17:4 says, a wicked doer gives heed or believes false lips, and a liar listen to a naughty tongue. Liars enjoy other liars. So if they come to you with lies and you know they are lies and you do not say anything, then that's going to make you a liar, because he is coming with other lies and you encourage that person, you don't say anything, you say it's okay. So make sure that you don't love and enjoy those liars. 17:9 says, he that covers a transgression seeks love, but he that repeats a matter separate very close friends. Love forgets mistakes. We saw that last week. Now in communication, love is very important. You need to apply it in your communication. If somebody transgresses against you, you cover it. You close your eyes, you pray, you say, Lord, you take care of it. That is the right thing to do. But he that repeats a matter, if he does it again and is not forgetting the mistake, he will bring two friends apart. He will separate very close friends. 17:27 and 28. He that has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holds his peace, is counted wise, and he that shuts his lips is considered a man of understanding. So be wise and keep silent. If you are able to say nothing, to keep your mouth shut, is better, and you will be considered a person of understanding, person wise. 18:8. The words of a gossiper are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. So no gossips. Out are as deep waters, and the fountain of wisdom as a flowing brook. 18:4. 18:8, we said the words of a gossiper are as wounds. 18:13, he that answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame unto him. Listen before you speak. It's foolish to answer before you heard. You don't know what you're talking about. So finish the conversation. Listen, be quiet. He might say something. She might say something that gonna change your answer. Totally. But you jump, you go before. So, it is folly and shame. 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit of it. That is powerful. That life and death in the power of the tongue. Happiness or misery in the power of the tongue. Very important what you say. We've seen in the past people commit suicide because someone had said something wrong to them. So that's why they say that there is power of life and death in the tongue. 19:5. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaks lies shall not escape. So the liars and the false witnesses, there is no escape. 19:11, the discretion of a man defer or make slow his anger, and it is his glory to pass over, to overlook a transgression. So you have to overlook an offense. People will offend you, but you have to be able, in order to continue the communication, to be able to overlook. 20:19. He that goes around as a slanderer, a talebearer, reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with him that flatters with his lips. Don't associate with gossipers, and don't associate with those people who are always flattering, always telling you. We'll cover later the flatteries. Just be careful of it. 21:9, we covered that the other day. It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Remember that? It is better, you better to be alone than with an arguing person. I will not put arguing woman, like it says here, because I know guys, they love to argue and argue and argue as much as women. So you're better alone than with an arguing person. 21:23. Whosoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from troubles. So keep your tongue and be out of trouble. This is the wisest man in the world who wrote this. Remember, Solomon. Now we jump to 25:11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Timely advice is very important. Not, I told you so. That is awful on communication. Someone makes a mistake, you mention, well, you should not do it, and they do it, and the first thing people, I told you so. That is not a timely advice. 25:15. By long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaks the bone. So be patient. You will finally win. Be patient. If it is right, God will make them see that you are right. So the tongue can break the bone. 26:4. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like unto him. You will be like him yourself. Don't argue foolishly with a fool, because you become one if you do so. 26:19. So is the man that deceives his neighbor and says, I'm not high in sport. Meaning, I was only joking. Be very careful about teasing someone and then say, I was only joking. It is not good for communication. Teasing someone. If you would like to have fun and sense of humor, and you'd like to joke, and if your jokes are hurting the other one, they are not funny to that person, do not continue. It is going to destroy the communication. I was only joking. It was just a joke. Can't you take a joke? It is not good in communication. If the other person is getting irritated with those dumb jokes, I knew you were going to look here. You just don't continue. All right? Okay, 26:22. The words of a gossiper are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. We saw that. And they repeat it again to make sure that you know no gossips. 26:28 says, a lying tongue hates those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth works ruin. So lying tongues hates his victims. If they are lying to you, there is no love in it. They don't care for you. They could care less about you. They don't love you. They are just lying to you. Liars hate their victims. Remember that. 28:23. He that rebukes a man afterward shall find more favor than he that flatters with the tongue. A person will appreciate frankness more than flattery. It sounds good, but if it's not coming from the heart, if it is not frank, if it is not, you might as well say nothing. But somebody will appreciate a rebuke. Somebody will appreciate a frankness more than flattery. People think that if I flatter, you know, I'm going to get it. It is no. 29:5 says, a man that flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. And remember that, that person that's always coming to you with flattery. There's a net under your feet. Just be careful and watch. Look around. It can be a trap. Those men pleasers do that. Oh, they're always talking so nice and always complimenting. No matter what you wear a shirt, there's a big hole like this. It's a beautiful shirt you have today. Flatteries. Just watch the net. Men pleasers. God says we are not men pleasers. The last one, we stop here, 29:20. Do you see a man that is hasty in his word? There is more hope of a fool than of him. So don't be quick to answer again. So in closing, I will give you 10 guidelines for communication. If you ever get married and if you plan to go for marriage counseling, you will have to go over those guidelines for communication. One is be a ready listener and do not answer until the other is finished. Get that? James 1:19 says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. So be a ready listener. Do not answer until the other one is finished. Number two is be slow to speak. Think first. Don't be in a hurry in your words. Speak in such a way that the other person can understand and accept what you say. Number three is speak the truth always, but do it in love. Do not exaggerate. Ephesians 4:15 says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Very important that you tell the truth, but do not exaggerate. Also the same 4:25. Therefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And also Colossians 3:9. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. What you were before. We were all liars. We still have problem with lying. Sometimes it is easier to say a little lie than the truth. But no, you have to say, tell the truth. Number four would be do not use silence. Those silence treatment, they are a killer in communication. They don't do any good, they do worse. Do not use silence to frustrate the other. Explain why you are hesitant to talk, but do not give them the cold silence treatment. Number five is do not become involved in quarrels. It is possible to disagree without quarreling. Not easy, but it is possible. Do not get involved in quarrels. Number six is do not respond in anger. Use a soft, kind answer, response. Do not yell. Ephesians 4:26. Let not the sun go down upon your anger. And 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Number 7 would be, when you are wrong, admit it and ask for forgiveness. James 5:16. Tell us, 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. So confess that you are wrong, admit it, and ask for forgiveness. When someone confesses to you, tell them that you forgive them. Make sure it is forgotten. Don't bring it back next week. Yeah, but you did it 2 weeks ago and I forgave you and you're doing it again. When you forget, that's out, it's finished. You don't look back. You don't go to your garbage every Sunday afternoon, bring him in the living room and go through what you went through. So don't bring back garbage. He said something, he did something, she said something, she did something, it was not right. She or he asked for forgiveness, it's over, you forgave, forget it. Let it go with the garbage. But don't bring it back again. No good for communication. That is Ephesians 4:32. It's somewhere in this book. Ephesians 4:22. For what? I'll take it. 4:32. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Also Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, also do. And 1 Peter 4:8. 1 Peter 4:8. And above all things, have fervent love among yourselves, for love shall cover the multitude of sins. If you love one another, you will be able to cover a multitude of sins that they're gonna do against you. Okay, so 7, when you are wrong, admit it, ask for forgiveness. If they confess, you forgive, you forget, you don't bring up again. 8 would be avoid nagging, especially women, but guys also. Nag, nag, nag. Avoid that in communication. 9 would be do not blame or criticize the other person all the time. Instead, restore, encourage, edify, lift up. Don't tear them down. Don't criticize all the time. That would be in Galatians 6:1. You all know this one. If a man be overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you be also tempted. And also Romans 14:13. Romans 14:13 says, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man puts a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's or sister's way. And 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, edify one another, even as also you do. If someone verbally attacks, criticizes, or blames you, do not respond in the same manner. That is in Romans 12:17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him drink. For in so doing, you shall heap coals of fire on his head. So that was Romans 12:17-21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. 1 Peter 3:9. 1 Peter 3:9 says, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. And the last one, 10, try to understand the other person's opinion. Put yourself in their shoes. Look at that, what you just said, from their point of view. Make allowances for differences. Be concerned about their interests. Don't be selfish, only looking at yourself, what you like, what you want. It makes sense to you, but what about the other one? Does it make sense to her? Does it make sense to him? Try to understand. Ephesians 4:2. Ephesians 4:2 says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Not disputing, be patient, be kind with the other. And the last one would be Philippians 2:2-4. Philippians 2:2-4. Fulfill my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of the others. So try to understand the other. So these are the 10 guidelines for communication. Like I said in the beginning, you will not. Those guys were not able to build the bridge without communication. You will not be able to build a relationship without communication. You will not be able to build a strong marriage without communication. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time and for your word, Father. We ask, Father, that you help us with communication. So many people are not even trying to communicate. They are not trying, Father. We ask that you help each and every one in this room, Father, with communication, that we may be able to at least make an effort to love the other person. Try to understand. Be kind. Not yelling, screaming, silence treatment. These are not Christ-like attitude. We should have that attitude of Christ, and being kind, compassionate. So we ask, Father, that you help us with this. Be with us this week. Give us another week. And Father, just help us. And bring us back here next week to finish that study on dating. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.